from NPR.
It's From the Top.
Celebrating the power of music
in the hands of America's kids.
Here's today's guest host, pianist Orly Shaham. Welcome, everybody. Today we come to you from the beautiful state of Maine in the lively, picturesque city of Portland. We're being presented by Portland Ovations, who have brought us here to Merrill Auditorium to share with you the energy and talents of some phenomenal young people. I always love meeting the From the Top performers. They're so inspiring. They're so talented and enthusiastic. And they're so humbling. They're so dedicated, so hardworking, like Hwan Lee, whose powerful comeback story will move you later in the program. She's an exceptional pianist who learned to listen to her body, showed great maturity and patience to be able to continue in the music that she loves. Like Colin from here in Maine, who won 3 different state-level competitions, and not one of them is actually for music, though he's a brilliant violinist. And like the talented harpist on stage with me right now, who's deeply involved in studying the genome of oysters. Seriously, you heard right, the genome of oysters. Please welcome this budding scientist musician from Yorktown Heights, New York, 17-year-old harpist Layla Hudson. Layla, please tell everyone what you're going to play.
Today I'll be playing La Source by Alphonse Hasselmans.
Okay. When you're ready, you can take it from the top.
Thank you.
Layla Hudson, 17, from Yorktown Heights, New York, performed La Source by Alphonse Hasselmans. Layla, that was really stunningly beautiful.
Thank you.
And you reminded me how, as a very little girl, I saw a harpist once and thought it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. I really couldn't wait to learn the harp. Of course, I accidentally picked the horizontal one instead of the vertical one, but I got close.
Yeah.
And I love with your playing, there's so many layers in what you do. You bring out so many textures and things going on at the same time. And true to this piece's name, La Source, you really made me feel like I was underwater. I understand that that's a place you actually spend a lot of time,
yes.
Underwater.
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
My father is a marine scientist, and he introduced me to the field of environmental DNA. And through that, I eventually discovered the area of ancient DNA. And now I'm discovering a project where I have acquired shells, 6,000-year-old shells.
Wow.
From a shell midden, which is essentially a pile of used shells from a Native American tribe in the area, in the Long Island area where I'm researching.
Okay.
That they've used for eating, for currency. So now I've acquired those shells, and I've worked with a lab up in Toronto, Canada, and I've extracted DNA with them, and now have compared them to present DNA sequences found on online databases. And I found that there's evolutionary differences between the two. And yeah.
That's an incredibly high-tech, modern scientific story. So why is it important to know whether there are differences?
It's really important because the oyster population is very important to the Native Americans in that area. It's the major food source for them. And also they use it as currency, as I've mentioned before.
And you've actually been getting right out into
yes.
Shinnecock Bay, like just hanging out with the oysters?
I actually learned how to ride a boat before a car. And right now I'm trying to plant these oyster reefs to increase the population of the oysters because they are so important. And am also trying to find the link between the society and the environment, trying to see if those evolutionary differences that I found are just from natural occurrences or from our impact as humans, because in that area, the Hamptons, many people use pesticides, as we all know, and pollution happens, so I'm wondering if those evolutionary differences are actually negative impacts from us.
Well, you're carrying on a really long tradition of scientist musicians,
yeah.
Including quite a few in my own family. So thank you for helping to make the world a better place, through your music and your science. Layla Hudson, 17, from Yorktown Heights, New York.
From the Top's podcast includes music and features not heard on the radio broadcast. It's available through NPR, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. For the last 15 years, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation have awarded over $3 million in scholarships to talented young musicians who have financial need. We still have more to give. Go to fromthetop.org to learn more. Orly.
Thanks, Joanne. Now please welcome our first Mainer of the day. From the town of Blue Hill, this is 15-year-old violinist Colin Aponte. I see you brought your main fan club, Colin.
Yeah, I did.
Hi, Colin. While I'm going to head over to the piano, will you please introduce what we'll be playing together?
We will be playing Introduction in Tarantella by Pablo de Sarasate.
Thank you.
Colin Aponte, 15, from Blue Hill, Maine, performed Introduction in Tarantella by Pablo de Sarasate. I'm pianist Orly Shaham, and I had the pleasure of playing with him. I love, Colin, how your playing is so full of joy and spontaneity in this piece. And it reminded me a little bit of an experience I had last year playing in Brunswick, Maine, on a From the Top recording with a violinist with the last name Aponte, who was your brother Brandon.
Yes, that's right.
So there are at least two violinists in your house, yes?
Three, actually. My younger sister also plays.
Wow. So my oldest brother, Shai, played the piano. We used to have to carve out practice time so that there wouldn't be too much fighting.
Right.
Did you ever have to share a violin with any of your siblings?
No, actually. We never had to share, but when I was younger, I would always hear my older brother playing all these difficult pieces that I hadn't learned quite yet. And so, of course, me being competitive, I always wanted to play them as well, if not better, than he did.
And you are competitive in all sorts of activities. You broke a state record being part of a relay team in swimming, but that's not all. What else have you done?
Well, when I was in eighth grade, I was the winner of the Maine State Spelling Bee. And and participating in that was pretty nerve-wracking for me because for years I had been coming in second, several times at the county level and once at the state level. And so I was in eighth grade, and it was my last year I was eligible to compete in, but luckily I won with the word crescendo.
Clearly meant to be. It sounds very intense. I wonder if I would crack under that kind of pressure.
Let's see.
Wait, why am I hearing that ominous sound effect?
I like it. It's there just to give you a sense of the pressure you'd feel at these bees.
All right, give me my word.
Your word is vice nictfo.
Could you please use it in a sentence?
Oh, sure. Vice nictfo is the name of a fictional city.
WEISSNICHTWO. Vice nictfo.
That's correct. Wow.
It's the first time in my life that high school German really paid off.
Wow, yeah.
Thank goodness I recognized the word.
Yeah.
Now, for you, winning the spelling bee, even at the state level, just wasn't enough, right? You needed to do more.
Yes. So, the week after that, I was supposed to compete in the main state geography bee. And that was a lot more competitive because I was one out of around 100 kids. And I hadn't studied nearly as much as I had for spelling. But, you know, I just crammed, studied hard, and I won.
Sure, the way it works out for all of us.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm feeling confident. Toss me my geography question.
Okay, here's your question. The Agadez region is one of 8 regions located in which West African country?
Côte d'Ivoire.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Was I at least in West Africa?
Yes, you were close. The correct answer is Niger.
Well, I must say, now I have a deeper appreciation for what you went through. But to me, all of these things are just more stress on top of all of the practicing and the performing that you do. Do you ever do anything to relax?
Yeah, well, I'm really into hand-eye coordination activities. So when I was younger, I would cup stack. And then after a while, I kind of got bored with that. So then I started solving Rubik's Cubes. And lately, nice. I've been into juggling.
Ah, juggling.
Yeah.
I took on juggling as a junior high schooler studying for history finals.
Oh, wow.
And I still keep 3 juggling balls by the piano for that much-needed break. Mm. And those of you who are listening on the air, you can't see this right now, but right now, Colin and I are juggling about 7 swords and torches, and we're doing a great job.
Oh,
nobody's
yeah.
dropping a thing.
Yep.
Thank you so much to Colin Aponte, 15, from Blue Hill, Maine. At Center Stage now is an accomplished 15-year-old cellist from my hometown of New York City. Her name is Laura Navasardian, and she's brought one of the best-loved pieces for cello, The Swan by Camille Saint-Saëns. I'm going to join her at the piano.
Thank you.
We heard Laura Navasardian, 15-year-old, along with me at the piano playing The Swan by Camille Saint-Saëns. Laura, I just love your deep, sonorous tone on that cello.
Thank you.
Is it fun to play in a hall this big?
Yeah, I love it. It's amazing.
Now, the last time you performed this piece, it wasn't quite this intimate a setting, right?
Yeah, I played this in Boston Symphony Hall with the Boston Pops, with conductor Giacomo Byros, along with Tchaikovsky's Pezzo Capriccioso.
That's another high-pressure experience, just like Colin. How do you handle it?
I really love pressure. I think it's really cool. it kind of makes me feel like an athlete, and I think it really helps me, and when I got into on the stage, the first thing I thought was, please don't mess this up, because there were a lot of people there. But then as I sat down to play, that's when I really knew this was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
It's really an amazing thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you.
I had an experience the very first time that I played with orchestra. Mm-hmm. And my teacher had told me before I sat down, he said, when the orchestra starts, you'll know. Mm-hmm. And I thought, yeah. What are you talking about? What will I know? And I sat down and I knew. So I know exactly what that felt like for you. And it's a wonderful feeling that comes from great preparation, right? You can't get there unless you really put in the effort. And I've known you for many, many years peripherally because you attended a school in New York that my sons went to as well that is called the Special Music School at Kaufman Music Center on the Upper West Side in New York. And it is the only K-12 public school in the country that has music as a core subject throughout.
Yes.
What was that like for you?
Yeah, so I started at SMS in the fourth grade, and I stayed there till the end of middle school, and I feel really thankful that I was able to go there because it's actually the only school in America that combines an academic and musical education, so you're able to do both in just a regular school day.
It's really an incredible place, and it clearly prepared you very well for this and gave you a lot of opportunity to practice your stagecraft as well. Laura Navasardian, 15, from New York City. Thank you so much.
Check out From the Top's new video docuseries, Where Music Lives, hosted by Kevin Alushala of the Grammy Award-winning a cappella group Pentatonix. Meet fantastic young musicians in their own communities at fromthetop.org.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Volgenau Foundation, supporting programs that conserve natural resources, educate children, and promote classical music. From the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, providing scholarships to high-achieving students with financial need, jkcf.org. And from the ECMC Foundation, celebrating 5 years of philanthropy and supporting efforts to improve post-secondary education for underserved students. Learn more at ecmcfoundation.org.
From NPR, it's From the Top, celebrating the power of music in the hands of America's kids. This week, we're coming to you from Merrill Auditorium in Portland, Maine. Coming up, solo piano music by Maurice Ravel, performed by the winner of Juilliard's Gina Bachauer competition. Our performance here in Maine is presented by Portland Ovations and made possible with support from the Onion Foundation. Additional support provided by Great Diamond Partners. Special thanks this week to our media partner, Maine Public Classical. Here again is today's host, concert pianist Orly Shaham.
Thank you, Joanne. Our next young performer is one of our Jack Kent Cook young artists. He's a 17-year-old flutist from Roland Heights, California, which is in the LA area. And his name is John Robert Santiago. JR, you've brought a really unusual piece of music for us. Would you please introduce it and tell everybody what it is that you like about it while I get ready at the piano?
Sure. So today we'll be playing Hypnosis by Ian Clark. I really love this piece because it was one of the first pieces that I came across starting the flute. And I really love it as well because of the improvisational nature of the piece. This was inspired by a jam session that Ian Clark had with a rock guitarist. And so because of how it was written, it has a very improvisational nature. I really love it as well because it doesn't sound like typical flute music. A lot of flute music does not sound like this, and so it has a sort of allure to it because of that.
Thank you.
John Robert Santiago, 17, from Roland Heights, California, performed Hypnosis by Ian Clark with me, Orly Shaham, at the piano. John Robert's performance is a part of From the Top's new music series, supported by the Amphion Foundation and the Aaron Copland Fund for Music. JR, I find your playing so rich and beautiful. And you spoke about the piece being improvisatory. The spontaneous nature of what you do is really so lovely and really a joy to be a part of. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You've brought a great homemade sound clip for us. Let's take a listen. Okay, what are we listening to?
So that is my uncles playing together at a party. So when I was growing up, my family was my exposure to music and what it was. And so I come from a very musical family. And so whenever we'd get together and hang out, we'd always find a way to have like a jam session or a music session. And we just like play together and it was really fun. And it was especially prevalent with my uncles because growing up they were in a band together. But looking back at it now, it just looks like a bunch of 50 to 60 year olds reliving their childhoods.
Which is not at all a bad thing. Now, I understand you're also very close with your mother. Mm-hmm. Talk about that.
Okay, so 9 years ago, my father lost his battle to cancer and he passed away. And so ever since then, we've been really close. And because of that, she has been a single mother for the past couple of years. And so it's really brave of her. And she's kind of like my hero. Even though it is really hard to be a single parent, she still makes sure to put food on the table and tries to make sure that I get to my rehearsals and I get to school on time and that I'm doing well. So I'm really thankful and I owe her the world.
And I'm sure she feels exactly the same way about you.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, today is actually her birthday. So happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, JR's mom. I can tell you as a mother that there's no better birthday present than hearing your child perform so beautifully. Now, we're going to switch to a slightly lighter topic. Adults, and I must include myself in this, can sometimes be a little dismissive and ignorant of the good side of social media. But for you, apparently Instagram was really constructive in your musical development.
Yeah, so growing up, when I first started the flute, I started following famous like flute players that posted their content on social media. And so because of that, that opened my eyes to what was possible for a classical musician in the world today. And so it sort of gave me something to look forward to or something to aim towards. And it just inspired me and made me realize that this is what I want to do for my whole life.
Well, we are all so grateful that you discovered the flute. Thank you for bringing it to us today. John Robert Santiago, 17, from the LA area in California.
Thank you so much.
From the Top musicians want to change the world for the better, and we're here to support them. That's why From the Top offers leadership training to all of our young musicians, and we're out there with them doing community engagement projects all across the country. Learn more about all our programs at fromthetop.org.
Hello, I'm Huan Li. What you're hearing now, that's me performing on From the Top in 2015. I played Gargoyles, the third and fourth movement by Lowell Liberman. It was such an amazing experience. I remember the crowd was so supportive, and I'm so happy, so grateful to be back on the show this time. I mean, last time when I was on From the Top, I was graduating from high school, and this time I'm graduating from college. This must be fate. Yeah, but seriously, I went to Juilliard for 5 years after the show. It's been a wonderful experience at Juilliard. It always inspired by my peers and teachers. And among all the other things I learned from school, I also had a lesson on always respecting and listening to your body. And I guess you could say I learned it the hard way. So I started my freshman year, you know, as a freshman, ambitious, active, trying to do a lot of things, and try to challenge myself with some really physical repertoire. And then everything just started downhill from there. I remember it was in April, on a Wednesday night, I practiced Stravinsky's Petrushka 3 hours straight. And after that, my left thumb just couldn't move anymore. And with that was tingling and pain. So I went to a doctor, and the doctor said it's the nerve that's injured, I should rest. So I rested for weeks, but then my arm started hurting. And then that's the time I realized it's no longer just a nerve injury, it's also a muscle injury. In the end, it was almost 2 years before I could actually play and practice again. I've thought many, many times, what if I can never play the piano again? And every time I thought about that, I reached at the conclusion, there's no what if. I told myself, Juan, there's no what if. You will definitely get better, and you'll recover, and you'll play the piano again. My parents, throughout the whole time, were just so supportive, so amazing. Of course, they worried, but they never said it out loud to me. What if you can never play again? And I'm just super grateful to my parents. Their attitude throughout the whole time was just pounding in the optimism and unwavering faith in me. And now I look back, I'm very grateful to my injury. Not to say that I'd like to have them again, but listening to music became very different for me. My ears were opened up. Now that I don't have to focus on how I get this passage going, how I need to play it, I can focus more on how the music, little elements in the music interacts with each other, how the music develops, how it tells a story, how it expresses some ideas. And music suddenly, over time, it just became much closer to my heart. So flash forward, after all that work, I was back in school, back to practice. Love the feeling of practicing piano again. I never wanted to leave piano again. And then I entered a competition. It was the Gina Bakauer Scholarship competition for the Juilliard School. So I just embraced it and went for it. And at the winner's recital, I played this piece. This is Alborada del Grazioso from Maurice Ravel's suite called Miroir. Thank you.
That was From the Top alum Juan Lee from New York City performing Alborado del Gracioso from Ravel's Miroir. Juan is now 22 years old, and before she played, we heard a tiny snippet of her first performance on From the Top when she was 17. And just to show exactly how thrilling she was as a teenager, we're going to conclude our show now with that original performance of hers from 2015. I hope you've enjoyed our show from here in Maine today, and I want to thank all the young performers on today's show, and thank you for listening. This is pianist Orly Shaham. Please join From the Top next week. And now, here's the 17-year-old Juan Lee performing the third and fourth movements of Gargoyles by Lowell Lieberman.
Thank you.
From the Top is written and produced by Tim Banker and Tom Vagley, with music director Megan Swan. The production manager is Matt Dykeman, with assistance from Abby Rienzo. Technical direction by Barrett Ouellette, with John Escobar and Chris Rando. The executive director is Gretchen Nielsen. I'm Joanne Robinson. From the Top is an independent nonprofit organization based in Boston. If you'd like to appear in our program, apply online at fromthetop.org. From the Top is supported in part by an award from the National Endowment for the Arts, on the web at arts.gov.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from the Massachusetts Office of Travel and Tourism, offering a new way to explore with itineraries for arts, culture, and history in Boston and beyond. The journey begins at massvacation.com. From the Wincote Foundation and from the Kauffman Foundation, working together with communities in education and entrepreneurship to create uncommon solutions and empower people to shape their lives and be more successful. More online at kauffman.org.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. You know, while From the Top is on NPR, it's not actually owned by NPR. It's an independent nonprofit company based in Boston, and every year it takes a huge push for us to make the show happen financially. So we ask you to please consider donating to our organization so that we can bring you joy podcast after podcast. Go to fromthetop.org and click on support. Thank you.